it's time to talk to one of the great quarterbacks to ever put on a jersey. Today's guest played 15 seasons in the NFL, nine of them including three Pro Bowl appearances while playing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mark Brunell joins the Bill and OC show. The interview with Mark Brunell is being brought to you by QB Elite. To learn more, go online at www.qbelite.com.
Wow, that's a fancy old intro from Dave Gore, producing the heck out of this thing today. Welcome in, everybody. It's a little after 5 o'clock up and down the Wasatch Front, all over the state of Utah. Bill and OC show here on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700. Ton to talk about today. We've got plenty of college football stuff. Chris Lowe was with us earlier, a lot from University of Utah camp today. But thought we'd talk some NFL and kind of catch up a little bit here. It's hard for me to believe. I feel old sometimes, like after I get off the treadmill or something like that, OC, and it kind of reminds me that I'm 45 years old now and I'm no longer young. But I'll tell you what else makes me feel old. When I look back and see that it's been 20 years since I did a radio show with this guy. When the Jacksonville Jaguars were a young and burgeoning franchise, I was a young and probably pretty dumb sports reporter in Salt Lake in Jacksonville, Florida, and our next guest was a quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's now a football coach and an analyst for ESPN. He joins us here on the Bill and OC show, Mark Brunell. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? It's great to be on your show again.
Again, it's been a million years since we did that show at many a Sears store all over Jacksonville together. How are you?
We're getting old. We're getting old, man. We're getting old.
Yeah, I know. You look good, though. I see you on ESPN every few days and see you're coaching football down in Jacksonville. How's life?
You know, life is really good. I've got a couple real good gigs that I'm excited about. The opportunity to work with ESPN out of Bristol doing some studio work as an NFL analyst. And, you know, you get to stay close to the game, the NFL side. And so I've really enjoyed it. There's some really good people to work with up there. And I'm also the head coach at a school here in Jacksonville, Florida, the Episcopal School of Jacksonville. So, like I said, a couple real good gigs. I'm enjoying the coaching, working with young men, trying to develop some leaders and win some football games. And everyone's doing great. I'm real pleased.
Well, we're obviously very excited about the upcoming NFL season. And then you get a headline like you see today with Geno Smith out 6 weeks because of a broken jaw after an altercation with a teammate. Now, my experience was never in the NFL, but I played college football, and I cannot imagine a scenario in which a potential starting quarterback gets into this kind of a physical altercation with a teammate, and the locker room itself doesn't police the situation before a punch is thrown. You obviously have spent your entire life around locker rooms as a starting quarterback. Does this happen? I mean, is this as extreme of an outlier as I think it is?
You know, it is extreme now. And listen, fights happen. They happen, especially in training camp, particularly at this time of training camp, where guys are tired and they're frustrated about where they're, you know, what string they are and you know, the stress of making a football team. Emotions are high. And fights just happen. But rarely, hardly ever, is a quarterback involved in one of those fights. And listen, it sounds to me, and I don't have all the information, it's still pretty early, but it sounds to me like, you know, this guy that hit Geno, he has a history of some violence. But to sucker punch anybody, let alone your quarterback, is just uncalled for. I mean, if you're going to sucker punch somebody, I mean, that's a pure sign of cowardice, you know, and it's obviously very selfish. But listen, fights happen. And for this to happen to Geno Smith and during a season, which this is kind of his make or break here, it's unfortunate for Geno. It's unfortunate for the New York Jets. It's just unheard of, really.
Does it speak to where Geno sits with the team, Mark, that nobody was there to step in between these two guys?
Well, you know, we don't have that information. I just read recently, just a moment ago, that it happened in the quarterback room, perhaps. And listen, there's, you know, typically in the quarterback room, there's four or five guys at the most. And so I really couldn't speak to, you know, the circumstances. But listen, you know, it's my understanding that Geno's a pretty good guy, that the guys on his team respect him. You know, he's a hardworking kid, has struggled a little bit last year. But if there was an opportunity for some guys to come to his defense, if there were guys that were there, I'd like to think that that did happen. You know, I don't think anybody's going to let Geno, you know, fight this linebacker all by himself. You know, I'm sure if there were guys there, again, that they would come to his defense, they would break up a fight. But it's really interesting. It'll be really interesting to see what information comes out. But, you know, a situation that absolutely should never, ever happen.
On the football side of things, this opens up an opportunity for a guy who's had a lot of opportunities in the NFL. Are things going to be any different for the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick as the assumed starter?
Yeah, you know, I think they're in good hands. I mean, Geno was going to go in as the starter. Again, this is a make-or-break year for him, and he's worked very hard and had good off-season work in the OTAs and minicamp. But Ryan Fitzpatrick has been around a while. Not only has he been around a while, he's had some success. Now, Ryan's probably not going to go out there and win you a bunch of games, but he's not going to lose you a bunch of games either. He's smart. He makes good decisions. He's very conservative when it comes to, you know, getting the ball out. I think the Jets will be fine. They've got a good backup, and this is exactly why you have a solid backup, because you never know what's going to happen. At any given moment, any given play, you know, you could be the guy, and Ryan Fitzpatrick finds himself being the guy for the New York Jets now.
Mark Brunell, our guest, ESPN analyst, and, of course, longtime NFL quarterback, now a head coach of a high school football program in Jacksonville, Florida. Mark, Alex Smith is a wildly popular guy here in Salt Lake City for some pretty good reason. He led Utah to one of the great seasons they've ever had in school history. He didn't have a great run with the Niners till the end. He's found a home in Kansas City and has a head coach that seems to be on the same page as him. Hasn't had a lot of weapons in his career, but now Jeremy Maclin's there. Kelsey's coming into his own. Jamal Charles still in his prime. What do you think of the type of year Alex Smith might be able to have this year with Andy Reid in Kansas City?
Well, he's got good people around him, and he's coached well. I mean, you mentioned it. I like Alex Smith. You know, sometimes early in a career, it takes you a little while to get going. Not everybody just bursts onto the scene like Andrew Luck or Dan Marino. Those guys are hard to find. But listen, after a couple years, if you can find yourself in a good situation, coached by a good coach, and in this case is Andy Reid, one of the best, you know, offensive minds in the NFL, I expect Alex to have a very good season. You mentioned the weapons he has around him. He's another guy. He makes good decisions. He's smart with the ball, and he's pretty athletic, and he has become a very good leader, too, clearly in command of that West Coast offense that the Kansas City Chiefs run. And so, listen, I think Alex is going to have another good season. The question is, can he get his team to the playoffs? And if they do get to the playoffs, how far will they go? But I know Alex is looking forward to a good season. He has every reason to believe that this will be a good one for the Chiefs.
In all of your years around the NFL, have you ever seen a team have a worse offseason than the San Francisco 49ers appear to have experienced this one?
Yeah, you know, it's not just the loss of talent. It's the loss of leadership, you know, the loss of you know, guys that have been around that have been your leader, that have been your outspoken players. You know, obviously Justin Smith being gone, it's a huge blow, and among others, guys retiring. And so, you know, it's frustrating. You know, it's got to be frustrating for Colin Kaepernick here, you know, when he needs to go out and have a very good season, and pretty all of a sudden, you know, is, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, the roster's kind of depleted of guys that really stepped up and played some good football for the 49ers, and this has been a horrible off season for them. But and I will say this too. You know, you just never know. I can remember a year ago talking about the Dallas Cowboys, you know, that they were going to have a bad defense, that there was no hope. Sean Lee was hurt, their leader, their quarterback on defense. They didn't have any skill guys on the defensive side of the ball. And they go out and they have one of the best defenses in the NFL last year. So while it looks bleak, you know, the beauty of the NFL and the beauty of football, if a team can find a way to just push aside those distractions, that adversity, and come together, maybe they'll be fine. But it doesn't look good for the 49ers, but I'm not willing to give up complete hope on that one.
Hey, Mark, you and I talked years and years ago about your alma mater, and you told me years and years ago that one of the great places to watch a college football game is at Husky Stadium. I happen to be the play-by-play voice of the University of Utah. They've been in the Pac-12 now 5 years. They haven't made a trip to Husky Stadium because they renovated that place. For myself and for the Utah fans that are listening in that may be making that trip later this year to Seattle, what kind of a game day experience do you think that is in store for Utah when they head up to Husky Stadium?
Well, I would just tell Utah, get the hand signals ready. and work on the silent cadence, because it is a loud place to play. And it's a great college football environment. We always felt, you know, playing at our stadium, that we had a huge advantage based on the noise. It's a stadium that's set on the lake there. Our fans are great. It's just a different type of setting. But yeah, it gets loud. I mean, it's deafening. I've played in a lot of NFL stadiums that have been very loud. I put Husky Stadium right at the top, especially when the game's on the line and in the fourth quarter, and the fans do a good job of cheering for their team and against the other team. So it's quite an environment. It's a tough place to play, no doubt.
From a team perspective, they're one of the more interesting squads in the Pac-12. They lose a ton of NFL talent, NFL level talent, in the draft this year, and the defense obviously is a bit depleted because of that. But they had all that talent last year, weren't necessarily able to put it together for the kind of wins that they wanted. What's Chris Peterson going to be able to do with this group this year, do you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting, because I mean, you can be a great coach, but you got to have the players, and you know they lost, like you said, a lot of players to the draft. And but Chris Peterson, he's got a lot of experience, and he has had a lot of success. I just had the opportunity to meet him a couple weeks ago, and he is absolutely thrilled about his team. He's thrilled about the opportunity, you know, a new start for his career. And I believe he's a very good coach. If there's a guy that can bring this group together, listen, it's a Pac-12 team. You know, they're going to have talent. They're going to have to rely on some young players to step up. But I know, just speaking with Coach Peterson, he's excited about the opportunity, and he loves his football team.
And Mark, over the weekend we saw the Hall of Fame ceremonies in Canton, but a new class went in. Some of the guys you played against in your career were enshrined. Your good friend Tony Boselli had his career cut short by injury. His career, when he played, he was as good a left tackle, and you know this, as anybody that played the game. Do you think Tony's got a shot down the line to get into the Hall of Fame?
You know, I think he does. You know, he may be one of those late guys, you know, Tony, without a doubt, if he just gets a couple more years on the field, maybe it's a first ballot type of thing. I was actually at the ceremonies in Canton, got to visit with some of those guys, so it's a great experience. Something I hope Tony gets to experience, because if he got more years in, I really believe this, he would have been one of the best, if not the best, left tackle in the business. His leadership, the way he played, his passion, his ability. I mean, he was amazing. I mean, I love being in that pocket, knowing that my front side, I had no problems. There was never going to be any pressure. But he's a good one. I'm hopefully down the road, sooner rather than later, that he gets an opportunity to wear that yellow jacket, because I believe he deserves it.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, a guy you played not necessarily against but was in the league at the same time is another guy with Utah ties here. He's calling it quits after this year. Maybe pound for pound as tough a wide receiver has ever played. What do you think of Steve Smith's career, and is he a guy that might be in Canton one day?
Well, you talk about passion. If there's one receiver out there that's played with a lot of passion, a lot of fire, you talk about a competitor too. Steve Smith, you know, I couldn't tell you his numbers right now, but I guarantee you they're up there. And everywhere he goes, he produces. And for a fiery player, a smaller player, he plays big. And, you know, having receivers like that, I can tell you, makes all the difference in the world. He's still at his age. He has the ability to make some big plays. But he's a good one. I can see him enshrined as well. He's one of those players that deserves to, again, wear that jacket.
A Heisman Trophy winner was the second overall pick. Jameis Winston was the first overall pick in this year's draft. What do you think of those two rookies coming in to play the position that we all know is the most important in the NFL and the one that you plied your trade at for so long? How are those guys going to translate at the next level?
You know, it's hard to say, and it's one of the most interesting things going into this season to see how these young quarterbacks fare. And, again, it takes time. I honestly don't expect these guys to burst onto the scene and go out and, you know, win 10 games, get to the Pro Bowl, throw for 3,500. You know, I don't expect to see that. But what I hope to see, and I know that their coaches are hoping for the same thing, is that you just want to see progress throughout the season. You want these young men to get acclimated, to get better as the season goes on. There are going to be tough games. There are going to be some interceptions. There's going to be some key mistakes. But the quarterback that can handle those and not allow those mistakes to crush him or set him back. The quarterback that can just, listen, forget about that and move on, learn from it, that's the quarterback that's going to be around for a long time. And I think Jameis and Marcus have those qualities. You know, they have shown that in college, their ability in adverse situations to rise above. And so hopefully that will translate into the NFL. They're hardworking guys. They're both very intelligent. They have a skill set that we haven't seen in some time at that position. And so I expect them to do well. It won't be without some growing pains, but they're going to be just fine.
Mark, you were fortunate. You came into the Green Bay Packers and had Mike Holmgren and Steve Mariucci, and you were behind Favre, and Detmer was there with you. So you kind of got to kind of get that internship for a couple of years before Tom Coughlin traded for you. There's always those two schools of thought. You know, a guy like me, and again, you were a fifth-round pick. You weren't a first-round pick, but would you have traded places to have been that guy, to have gotten that right away, or were you pretty happy turning, as your career turned out, to have sat back for a couple of years and been able to observe?
Well, it was best for me to sit. I wasn't ready. I didn't have the ability that Jameis or Marcus had. I wasn't a first round guy. I was a later pick quarterback. So for me to sit and learn behind Mike Holmgren and watch Brett Favre play, it allowed me to kind of get my feet wet for a couple of years. So when I did get down to Jacksonville, I was kind of ready to go. But it was the best situation for me at the time. Looking back, I wouldn't trade anything.
As much as I'd like to think this was a great reunion set up by my producer, Dave Gore, to bring Mark and I back together after all these years off the radio. Actually, Mark was in state doing the quarterback elite camp about a month, month and a half ago with Ty Detmer and Dustin Smith. How'd the camp turn out? And I know you and Ty have been friends for a long time, and you're coaching some high school stuff. Do you enjoy doing those camps, Mark?
You know, I haven't done a lot of them, but, you know, when Ty called me and said, hey, come do this camp with me, and I said, absolutely. Where is it? When? I'm there. I love spending time with Ty Detmer. He's a good friend. Obviously, he had a great career, and Kurt Warner was there also. And there are some good quarterbacks in the state of Utah. I was impressed. Some guys that not only just great kids, but guys that can really throw it, that work hard, and Dustin Smith has done a great job with his quarterbacks there. I mean, you talk about a good quarterback coach that teaches sound fundamentals. He gets it. He has the right perspective. He just wants to develop these young men, and he's a very good teacher. So, gosh, I couldn't recommend him enough. I wish my son could have that same opportunity to work with him. But we're a couple thousand miles away. Makes it a little different. But it was a great camp. I hope for the opportunity to go back, but they're doing some good things in Utah.
It's QBElite.com if you're curious about it and want to get some information on those camps. We started this interview by talking about how I feel old sometimes. I'm going to make myself feel old again. I used to remember doing those shows at Sears with you, and your daughter was about, I don't even remember how old she was. Make me feel really old now, Mark, and tell me how old your oldest is now.
Well, she was about 3 or 4 years old about that, you know, when we were doing those shows together. Now she's 23, she's getting up there, and really proud of her. She actually was just competed last year in the Miss America pageant, did a very good job, got a top 10 finish, and she spent last year as Miss Alabama, graduated from the University of Alabama. So I'm really proud of her. She's grown up a lot, and pageants have really been her life, and they've been very good for her. And so she's doing real well. I appreciate you asking.
Well, that's great. Hey, continued success at ESPN. It doesn't seem like 14, 15 years since I lived in Jacksonville, but it's been that long. I'm going to tell John Pease you said hello, since he's on the staff out here now.
Please do. Tell him I said hello. He's a good man and a very good coach.
Hey, Mark, thanks, and we'll keep in touch. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Really, really enjoyed it, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mark Brunell, ESPN analyst, 17 years as an NFL quarterback. Thank you to Mark Brunell for joining us on the program here on ESPN 700. So, anyway, good NFL stuff, and again, he's part of that QB elite stuff. If you've got a young kid that you want maybe to be a quarterback, maybe a next Mark Brunell, a next Ty Detmer, a next Kurt Warner, QBElite.com. Dustin Smith runs a terrific camp, and they'll probably be doing it again next summer.